We got Marvin Harrison Jr.'s immediate impact, Trey Benson, addition in the draft here, plus Trey McBride, post-breakout with, we have Tyler Drake of ArizonaSports.com and the Cardinals Corner Podcast. Let's get to their big first-round pick. All the projections, all the mock drafts, one of the easy ones was Marvin Harrison at 4 to the Cardinals. What were you kind of thinking during the draft process? Ultimately, the pick came to fruition, but how are you evaluating it differently, covering the team? And it just seems so stock. Did you ever have any skepticism that it was actually going to occur?
You know, just based on what Monty showed us last year and his ability to really wheel and deal, there was a part of me that there, you know, a trade could very well be in the works or could be coming up soon or during when they were on the clock. So I think we all kind of had an idea that Marvin was the guy, should be the guy, definitely should be the guy. I think I from day one, I think I said, don't worry about trading. Don't worry about getting future picks. The time's now. You got to start going now. You can't keep looking to the future. You've got to start building now. And them getting Marvin was a huge get. He fills a ton of a huge need just based on being, a number one wide receiver, a tall, tall target, big target, red zone target, everything that this team needs, he fits. And so, you know, going into the draft, I was in Detroit and the whole time I'm thinking, you know, Marvin's got to be the pick. But you never know in the NFL. And I think the Minnesota kind of maybe moving up and giving 3 first rounders, that was definitely in the back of my mind of that could be a good price if that's going to get thrown around for a team that's still, you know, rebuilding, resetting, whatever you want to call it. But I think they really looked at the equation, looked at the wide receiving talent, because it wasn't just Marvin. You know, Malik Nabers, Rome Odunze were also in there and very good prospects, in my opinion. But at the end of the day, Marvin just checks too many boxes, and especially with what this team needs. So that had to be the easiest, easiest draft probably for Monty so far in his 2 years as a GM, because it was the easy pick, the stock pick, like you said. So it's crazy. It's almost like, when you green a par 4 and you miss the eagle, but you got to tap in birdie. It's like, it's just that easy.
Yeah. I when we had Malik Nabers ran in the 4.3s, and then you have Marvin Harrison Jr. doing the Seinfeld, I choose not to run, almost like a 1980s running back where they used to never run and then they would go in the top 5 and no one questions anything. Was there any sort of question about Marvin Harrison Jr.'s athleticism? Look at how Malik Nabers just blew up the workout and the process. He ultimately ended up being a top 10 pick himself. Was there any sort of dialogue that you like, hey, maybe Malik Nabers is the better pick? Why is Harrison not running? Is he really a 4.55, 4.6 guy? Should we spend that much of a pick on that type of athlete? What kind of dialogue were you hearing and reporting on during that process?
For me, I think just one thing, we had a great, great, great resource from the Cardinals from last year with Paris Johnson Jr., who he joined actually our podcast and dove into a lot about what Marvin Harrison Jr. brings to the table. Just what he said about him and everything that he can bring to the table, I really didn't have a worry about him, you know, missing the workouts or missing the combine workouts, because he was still meeting with the team. He was still having those kind of discussions. So at the end of the day, yeah, you didn't get to see his 40 time, but you did get to see him scoring 14 touchdowns in back-to-back seasons. You got to see the production he can have. And you also, from just speaking with everybody around him, the work ethic that he puts into really everything. So I think his dad also said it really well about how this was about making sure that there was rest involved to where he doesn't have that rookie wall, or if he does have that rookie wall, he can jump over that instead of running right into it. So I think it was all a process, and obviously, like, when it's coming out, you do have those thoughts of, hey, what is going on here? But I think everybody, just based on where he comes from, Marvin Harrison Sr. being a Hall of Famer, he knows the game of football, knows the NFL. I think the worry there was much, much, much less than it would have been for maybe somebody else that was a little more unproven.
Yeah. And this is a wide receiver core that needed a lot of help. Marquise Brown didn't really progress the way you wanted a first round pick to during that entire process. Michael Wilson was in and out, and frankly, didn't really show enough to say that he was going to be one that can be a wide receiver 1 or maybe even a wide receiver 2. We'll see how he progresses as well. Can you blend together the expectations for Marvin Harrison Jr. to really transform that depth chart right away? Such high expectations for him out of the gate. And then how does that blend with Trey McBride, who showed a lot with everyone falling around him? The whole offense really, falling, where he rose up and had his obviously easily his best season ever, a true breakout year for Trey McBride. Are they going to dominate the passing game market share wise? Do you think McBride loses a little bit if Harrison really takes a step forward in his first year?
I think it's definitely going to, there's definitely going to be a target differential for sure. I think Trey McBride definitely is going to get his looks, especially based on this offense really wants to run the football first and foremost. As much as they have these weapons on the outside, the bread and butter of this team is to run the rock behind James Conner. You mentioned Trey Benson, Michael Carter as well. Amari DiMercato got some run last year too. So the backfield is where this team really starts. And I can see a lot more opportunities for Trey just out of those, play actions, dump offs. I can see him really thriving in this that kind of offense. But Marvin, obviously, over the top, something like that, red zone, he's going to get a lot of looks. So maybe if we're looking at it that way, I could see maybe the red zone looks maybe tilting a little more towards Marvin this year as opposed to Trey, just because he's a bigger dude and he's going to be able to leap over some guys to make those, those touchdowns that really this team hasn't had in recent years because they've had smaller stature receivers as their wide receiver one. Marquise Hollywood Brown, he it sucks for him, but he dealt with some injury and just the consistency wasn't really there. So now it's really on Marvin. Can he take this number one role by the reins and really just hit the ground running? And from what everybody's saying, he's meeting and exceeding expectations. So all signs are pointing in the right direction for what he's bringing, at least from now. Today he spoke about, learning the playbook more. That's one of his biggest challenges. So, but from what everybody else says, it doesn't sound like he's missing the playbook very much. So seems like it's all good.
Trey Benson's a huge addition. You kind of mentioned some of the other guys, Michael Carter, they brought in a year ago, Amari DiMercato, really minimal pedigree. You expect him to get past with some sort of draft pick this year, and he was. Is James Conner going to be a workhorse foundational type back? Is the hope to get Trey Benson involved as the year goes on? What kind of timetable do you think there is? Because this opens the door to maybe Conner isn't back next year. Maybe Trey Benson's an earmarked 2025 week one starter. There's a lot of range of outcomes here between depending on, again, how quickly Benson gets up to speed. And I do have a little bit of receiving game, passing game question mark here. And it's always a question with rookies outside of a select few. So Benson's going to have to overcome that hurdle to get on the field much at all, I would imagine.
Yeah, definitely. And I still think as much as there is a lot of competition in that room now, it still starts with Connor. They love what he brings to the table, not only as a runner, but as a leader and somebody in that locker room that they can really lean on. I think it's going to be very telling how this season goes. I would expect from how everybody's talked, how he has been, that an extension should be on the way, maybe to another 2-year deal, something along those lines. Who knows when that happens, if that happens. If not, I mean, yeah, all signs point to Trey Benson being the guy moving forward. And as far as this year, I mean, he's a sneaky fantasy play if we want to go to that. Like, he's a handcuff that a lot of people should be having just because let's see. Connor has probably missed what, 4 games the last couple of years. I mean, he just misses time. He's probably one of the most regimented dudes that I've been around in terms of keeping his body healthy, and just stuff happens. And if there's anybody that's going to at least extend what father time is going to do to your body, it's probably going to be Connor, but he's still going to miss some time probably. So Benson does definitely get a bump there. I could definitely see him be more of a third down guy, maybe a pass catcher just to start, because he does bring a similar body, similar build to what Connor does, or at least just that bruising back ability. So I really am excited to see this battle in training camp, especially with Michael Carter and with Trey Benson, because those two guys are really going to be fighting to be that RB2 behind Connor. But I still think Connor, I think he had 208 carries last year. Maybe not 208, but it's still going to be a hefty amount for the running back.
Yeah, I actually think Michael Carter is, while he's not the most talented guy, we saw the Jets give up on him pretty quickly. I think it's actually not a great pairing with Trey Benson in this regard, that Michael Carter, what he does is a receiver. Like, he doesn't offer as much as a runner. And so my concern, and I always have to play out these scenarios, Connor goes out, let's say it's week 4, week 6, whatever. I wonder if Benson's going to get some of those inconsequential carries between the 20s, and then Michael Carter plays almost every single passing situation. Is that a realistic? What should we be looking for as the Cardinals get into camp? We go through the training camp and preseason. I mean, is this a team that we should look for tea leaves in those preseason games where if Benson isn't on the field in those passing situations, like there's no real chance early in the season he would be trusted with that role? Like some advice on the roadmap here for how that
Yeah.
running back 2-3 split might look.
So, I mean, here's the thing. And the blueprint from last year is they have no problem playing their rookies. They have no problem getting their rookies experience early on. I mean, Amari DeMarcado started a game last year as an undrafted
Right.
rookie. Like, there is no doubt that if Trey Benson can get up to speed and be the guy they think he can be, that he gets run right away. As far as looking at the split between Michael Carter, it's like you just said, I think Michael Carter is a great change of pace back. He brings you that passing ability that I think you miss on a couple other guys. I would say if we're going down that route and Connor's hurt, it's probably the Benson show with Carter mixed in. That's just what I think based on, I mean, I was pretty surprised they went and got him that early in the draft. He was, and he's ranked up there as one of the top prospects coming out of 2024. So I just think there's a real chance that they're not gonna let the guy sit on the bench for long. Like they're really gonna get him involved early, early, early on. But it also depends. He's a rookie. You mentioned yourself. Like, can he get up to speed enough to where they feel confident? And here's one thing that I definitely think people should be watching for is how is he in pass protection? Because Amari DeMarcado, that's really how he made his name on the roster and ended up getting that start because he showed his ability as a pass pro guy. And that's what got him a roster spot. So those things definitely are what I'm going to be looking for in training camp is when he is in there, how much is he in there with the passing game and how is he doing blocking guys and how is he doing just the certain things that you need to do outside of just running the rock.
Yeah, we've seen it plenty of times, and it's always our ire is we see the more talented runner with the ball in his hands, and we say, why isn't that guy playing more? Why is this other guy who's just a ho-hum talent, if you will, playing more? And it's a lot of the X's and O's. It's the assignment football, and it's all the things that, whether it's 4 yards per carry, 4.5 yards per carry, a team cares more about not getting your quarterback and your franchise blown up, or a missed assignment really quelling a drive. So that's what the things you have to worry about there. I wanted to ask because I think, Greg Dortch, they've talked a lot of positivity about Greg Dortch, and I've always found he's someone with bigger opportunity. He always seems to produce. And one of the sneakier additions I've seen from any team is bringing in Zay Jones. And I really think Zay Jones, if healthy, might save their bacon, so to speak, if Michael Wilson doesn't progress. Can you talk about those ancillary wide receivers? We expect Harrison to block out the sun, but a second guy there, what do you kind of see their roles? And again, Zay Jones has always been one that's produced kind of beyond the name recognition or cachet over the years.
So that's another really, really fun battle training camp. Michael Wilson versus Zay Jones for wide receiver two. I definitely think there is going to be a very, very tight battle there. Zay Jones brings a lot of that veteran, savviness. Like you just mentioned, he's produced. He really just speaking with them, holds his own. He's very soft spoken, but very, very intelligent with what he says. So I'm really interested to see how that all pans out. Michael Wilson, though, I think has a step forward just because of his relationship with Kyler right now. And I mean, he said it today, his offseason, one of his goals was to make sure he built his rapport up with Kyler. And so they're spending every weekend going out there and throwing extra and doing extra work. And that's really, I think, showing and really, I mean, their trust together, you can tell he's just more confident. The trust is definitely, definitely, definitely cemented between the quarterback and the wide receiver. Kyler even said he's going to be in the league for a long time. So, I mean, Kyler went down the list. I mean, for Greg Dortch, called him unguardable. He said if Greg Dortch was 6'3", he'd be a top five pick. He says the guy's unguardable in one-on-one situations and just is where you want him to be. And really with Greg Dortch, it's been about getting the opportunity. I think he's had the ability to really do his thing, but it's just been the fact that he's been stuck behind a Rondell Moore or these other guys. So now with Rondell Moore out of there, he's got a better opportunity to really thrive now in this offense.
You're hurting my soul bringing up Rondell Moore. I was one of his biggest proponents coming out and just didn't work out, and now it
Like him
seems like he's,
too.
yeah, he's the type of guy, though. The right team has to have the right. We all talk him up and say, oh, just give him 100 targets. It's hard. It's easier said than done, I think, for these NFL teams to say that. Kyler Murray, elephant in the room here, obviously, his health, getting dynamic movement back to his game. To be fair, he's been an average-ish NFL passer so far. So the key for him is going to be getting that high upside rushing coming back in 2024. What are kind of the thoughts on him in the offseason? in terms of getting fully healthy, being healthy, retaining that health, and getting this team back to a winning franchise on offense.
Yeah, so it's got to be easily cut, and obviously you don't win games in the offseason, but if you have to look at Kyler Murray's career, this is easily his best offseason he's had. He's couldn't be in more lockstep with the organization. Everything's just working the right way. It feels like he's closer with his teammates. He's at the training facility day in and day out. He's beating guys in. He's the last one to leave. Like, he's doing all these things that a lot of people, at least in Arizona, have been wanting to see out of him. He's taking guys on trips. He's just the camaraderie's there. Everything's there. You know, he's like I said, in lockstep with not only Jonathan Gannon, but with Monty Austinfort. Him and offensive coordinator Drew Petzing feel like they're really, really tight. He calls him a genius with what he wants to run. And obviously, yeah, this is going to be a run-first offense, but he's going to have more opportunities to really improve on his numbers. I think one of the big numbers or big stats I'll be looking for this year is his deep ball accuracy, touchdowns, all that. Because, like we said earlier, like he's had littler wide receivers, smaller wide receivers, guys who haven't really been as consistent. Now he's got some legit dudes. Can he really improve those numbers? Because coming out, he had some pretty decent numbers and they really fell off recently. But I think with that deep ball attack, he can really get back to being one of those better, you know, top half guys. And it all starts with running the football. And I think with him getting a heavy dose of still running the rock, but not overdoing it, is going to be crucial in what he wants to achieve from his standpoint and from what he wants to get out of the team.
Excellent. Tyler Drake, everything Arizona Cardinals here, tremendous resource. Where can folks find you, and what's some of the great content coming between now, the draft, all the way to leading up to week one in this season?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Follow me on all the social medias, Instagram, Twitter, or X, if you want to call it that. Facebook at T Drake for sports. That's a number four. And yeah, follow me, or you can follow along with all my work at arizonasports.com. You can download the Arizona Sports app. You can listen to me on 98.7 sometimes. And as always, yep, Cardinals Corner. That's my podcast. I run it with my co-host, Lauren Colville. Break it down weekly. We actually have a pretty big one coming tomorrow. I don't want to give too much away, so definitely want people to tune in. Might have a couple guests appear on there. So you can find that on YouTube, wherever you listen to podcasts. And yeah, definitely check out arizonasports.com. Got a ton of work there. I'll have some more on Marvin Harrison's work ethic and kind of his expectations that he's meeting right now. Some more on Michael Wilson and his relationship with Kyler. And I think I've got one more with Marvin and Michael Wilson actually learning things from each other that I'll be dropping in a couple of days as well. So definitely, definitely, definitely keep a lookout for those.
Tyler Drake, thank you so much for your time and talents. I am Chad Parsons. Until next time, never settle, refuse to be average, keep building those diamonds.